banking is going to have a really powerful place for women in the future, the foundation of it all should be a radical self-love
yes.
and acceptance. Going out into the world that day, knowing that everything that you choose for yourself is based on healing and self-love because you're owning this vessel that you're in.
I always say to women, like, you don't eat healthy because I tell you or it's the right thing to do. You eat it because you love yourself so much and there's so much self-love that you're always like, how can I support her? Like, she's doing so much for me. You know, when you see an embodied woman of how connected she is with her intuition, that she doesn't have to look at the numbers. She doesn't need to have spreadsheets. You just kind of know, like, this is the right thing. You mentioned that you started a podcast because it felt like the right thing to do.
The following is an Operation Podcast production. In this episode with the amazing Aggie Lal, we go on a journey through ancient healing practices and modern biohacks, focusing on the importance of tuning into your body's cycles, leveraging your circadian rhythm, and the impact of endocrine disruptors. We also explore the profound intersection of female empowerment, wellness, and biohacking, as well as how to create personal sanctuaries amidst urban chaos. This episode is packed with wisdom on everything from detoxifying the body to understanding the role of traditional healing practices aimed at empowering women to take control of their health and live their best lives. Aggie Lal is the best-selling author of Biohack Like a Woman, certified nutrition and health coach, host of the top-rated podcast Biohacking Bestie, founder of the supplement company Biohacking Bestie, and a TEDx speaker on a mission to revolutionize the world of biohacking for women. I am so happy you're here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's very intentional, just like your energy and what you're putting out into the world. So thank you. So the intention of the podcast really is about ancient wisdom in our modern world and really how we can become more rooted again. So rooted in our lives, rooted in our bodies, rooted in our health, in our inner wisdom for healing. I think that we all have this inner wisdom for healing that we have forgotten or that we don't have access to anymore. So for you, tell us about, like, what are the things that help you feel more rooted in your life, in your health, in your happiness?
Beautiful question. Wow, I love that we're going, like, straight in. I find it the same way. I feel like I'm very, the three energies in Ayurveda. So I'm the one that's, like, the fiery one that always feels like...
Pitta, yeah.
So the one that's, like... gets anxious easily and gets very excited about things and very unrooted, if you will. And so for me, having a practice, you know, one of the big reasons why I now live in LA part-time but live mostly in Bali is because I realized that you can try all the biohacks you want, but without nature, it's so hard to, like, just calm down. Like, we can do everything we want, but then you go on holidays, you spend time in the jungle or by the beach and you're like, ah, oh, immediately. And I'm like, effortless, right? And I think living in Bali is teaching me that I walk barefoot. You know, I leave the house barefoot because it's easier and I just park by the beach and go on a beach walk and have a very different experience in life where I don't get stressed and I arrive in LA. And you saw me when I came in. I was like, oh, this energy of like, sorry, I'm late. It was a traffic. You know, my dog's pulling. It's funny how much more effort it requires to stay grounded when you don't have nature. And everything we do is almost like mimicking nature. So it makes us feel like we're back to normal, whether it comes to hormones or whether it comes to our nutrition, just going back to the basics and the ancient wisdom. So I would just say, like, you can do all of that and spend all the money on the tech or just spend time in nature like I do. And it works all the same.
This is so interesting. I love that you brought up doshas because, like you, I go pretty pitta dominant. And, you know, we'll get more into your healing journey. But both of us have these healing journeys where we got so out of balance. And I think that the familiarity of that, it's easy for me to get lost very quickly unless I really practice mindfulness around it. And I'm convinced that that's what keeps me in this line of work because I keep catching myself. It's a constant coming back.
Correction.
Absolutely.
But it's funny because we, in a way, are celebrated, you know, in this culture for being so active and so anxiety driven in a way, right? Because the more the better. And so if you tell us this, we will, like, overachieve and do all of these things. And it's much harder for us to get grounded because we're so good at doing and making things happen.
Yeah. And it's like this myth of LA, right? Like people think you're by the ocean. We've got the mountains. We can go hiking all the time. We go for these smoothie meetings and stuff like that. But there's an undercurrent of an energy here. And my husband and I always call it, there's always another home run to hit, right? You hit a home run, there's another one. You have a book, there's a bigger book to write. There, you know, a client and the next clients. You're constantly chasing. So when you're back in LA, what's another practice in the morning that you really try to adopt when you're here?
I love that you say that. And it's beautiful. I love that LA has this feeling of, you know, there are limitless possibilities, but it can burn you out so quickly. And yeah, it's a really tough balance. You know, this morning I actually let myself sleep in. I usually wake up at 4:35 only because I go to bed at 7:30, 8 p.m. like a grandma.
We would be good roommates.
Really?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, slept until still 6. It's harder because I would expose myself to natural light in Bali, but in LA, that's not possible in winter. So I have my red light and I do a little stretch. I have my altar. And the reason for an altar is just to have a space at home that it's about my connection to myself. It's not people like, oh, are you like, is that for a specific religion or for spirituality? And for me, it's like, it's not, this is like a space for me that it just tells me my relationship with myself is the most important. And it requires, I need to honor it with a space at home, you know. Dishwasher have a space and a shower has a space. And so that's this little altar that I have. And yeah, and sometimes it's super simple. I'm holding my matcha because it's part of my ritual, whatever. Kind of like I go through the, you know, meditation, which is the spiritual, and then like having your morning matcha or like favorite tea that helps remember like, oh, it's so good to be human. Yeah. The basic thing that feels so good in the morning. And I devour my morning drink, which is really, I should patent this one drink. It's Shilajit with chlorella, warm with salt. I was thinking of calling it the green death, but maybe I can come up.
We don't want death in our body.
Yeah, so. But it has so many minerals that this has been my replacement over lemon tea. Gives me so much energy. And then I have my matcha to kind of feel like, yes, this is good. And then, yeah, start my day.
Yeah, and heavy metals too, right? Chlorella and shilajit, things that we need today. My heart is just firing because you're speaking my love language. So I have a program where I teach people how to build their own ashram in the city.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so growing up, you know, I spent a lot of time with my parents living at an ashram, and I saw the impact on their physiology. But when we went back home, there was the instant stress. And growing up, my mom has had just severe rheumatoid arthritis. This is an autoimmune condition. And so, there's no surprise to me when I went back to my healing roots. It was at the ashram, but I went through that same thing. When you come back into the busyness of life, it's so easy to get lost. And you and I can both say that when your health is taken away, there's nothing matters when you don't have health, right?
So 100%. I think there's this saying that a healthy person has a million wishes and a sick person only has one, which is to get healthy. But I'm sorry to hear about your mom. It is crazy, though, that 80% of autoimmune disease is
women.
Right? And the question is why? And I think, you know, why do we need more women? Biohacking, why do we need more women in the functional medicine space? It's because there is something deeper that goes beyond nutrition. Mm-hmm. And what is it? It's that energetical feeling of like, I'm responsible for other people's emotions, or like I need to take care of others before I take care of myself. So it's like having that holistic approach and knowing that, you know, building your own ashram, actually you can do all the biohacks on the planet. If you're stressed as hell, good luck.
Yeah.
You will develop some sort of dis-ease in the body, you know, and we're celebrated for giving up ourselves, you know, oh, she's such a good wife. You know, she would do anything for her kids.
Absolutely.
And that's awesome. But also like, what are you willing to do towards yourself and your own health? Because you can't contribute your biggest gift if you're not feeling well.
So this is your vibration, right? Your vibration when you go out into the world. And I think that you could be doing all of the top biohacks on the planet. But if your vibration is stuck in If your vibration is stuck in anxiety or worry or tension or fear or constant stress, you can biohack and supplement yourself to the moon,
yeah.
But longevity will not happen, or inner peace and happiness won't happen. So the point about you building your altar at home, I want to own in on that, because that's typically not a biohack that people would call upon. But whether you're religious or spiritual or not, your altar can simply be something at home that reminds you of your highest vibration. So, you know, a picture of you at your happiest moment, a picture of a memory that you have, a trip that you want to take, a feeling that you want to invoke in your life, a candle, a scent, whatever it is, like just an altar that you can see throughout the day that anchors you in who you want to become. Yeah. And then for a lot of my clients, I know that when they see that, it's just like taking a breath, like, it's like remembering, right? Yeah. Throughout the busyness and the chaos of your day-to-day life, your altar is always there for you to go back to. So I'm so happy you shared that with me. I wanted to take a quick break from our episode to thank our sponsor, Omnibiotic, who provides a line of premium gut health probiotic supplements made in Austria and rooted in over 30 years of microbiome research and clinical testing. Research shows us that 80% of our immune system resides in our gut. But many factors can diminish our good bacteria, like stress, certain medications, and unhealthy foods. But when we have enough good bacteria, they help us digest our food, absorb valuable nutrients, destroy disease-causing cells, and produce important substances that allow our body to function well. This is why Omnibiotic probiotics are a staple supplement in all of my clients' healing programs for healing and optimizing gut health, and why I make sure that my entire family supplement with them as well daily. Omnibiotic challenges the one-size-fits-all approach prevalent in the U.S. probiotic market, offering targeted formulations that address diverse health concerns, including liver detox, immunity, and stress management. Each Omnibiotic sachet contains a dose of freeze-dried probiotic powder infused with prebiotic nutrients. When mixed with water, these probiotics get rehydrated and fortified for their journey through the digestive system. In tests using a GI tract simulator, this powder delivery mechanism ensured 83% of Omnibiotic's good bacteria reached the gut alive and active, compared to an average of only 7% among the leading U.S. probiotic capsule brands. If you are ready to optimize your gut health, I cannot recommend Omnibiotic more. My clients, my kids, and myself have all felt and seen unbelievable results. Try them out now by heading over to www.omnibiotic.com and use code ROOTED15 to save 15%. Again, that's www.omnibiotic.com and use code ROOTED15 to save 15%.
One of the big reasons why I got into biohacking is kind of just like get to bring, like make biohacking more on our own terms, women's terms in a way, if you will. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like sure, biohacking used to be science-based, but then when you look back, like, is it really science or is it something that, you know, we've known for a very long time? So when I sat down with ayahuasca 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and she said to me, Aggie, so cute of you that you think you're biohacking, but this has been around for thousands of years. But you feel like you guys discovered something and the science confirms what we already knew. And so she's like, if you really want to get to know and, you know, really biohack your body, go to Chinese medicine and go back to nature. And so that was like, I'm like, okay, maybe. And so I think that having an ashram could be a biohack, right? Like we get to make our own terms. And if that makes me feel like the best version of myself and makes me feel like I feel good in my body, my cortisol, you know, stress levels go down, then it is a biohack.
What a good concept. So would we need biohacking if we knew how to return to our optimal self?
I don't think so. I think it's just biohacking is like, I want to take a shortcut because I live in 2023 or 2024 and I'm already so disconnected. We consume more information a day than our grandparents did in the year or great grandparents in their entire lifetime. So we were so bombarded and overwhelmed that we need to have these shortcuts to help us get to the state of homeostasis. But at the end of the day, you know, I think a lot of the things that we call biohacking, like fasting, it's not a new invention at all.
centuries.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Sunlight, century.
Yeah. And so I'm like,
existence.
It was like, it was always there. And I think we're originally biohackers as women going into the fields, picking up berries, picking up herbs to make, you know, their children feel better if they got an upset stomach. So like, we were always biohacking. We just didn't call it biohacking. We just called it wisdom.
Yeah, you know, I really reference a lot of this wisdom coming from the Vedas. So these ancient texts that come from India, I was really blessed to grow up with this. But ashram life, like I think a lot of people, when they think of an ashram, they think of it being very religious and spiritual, mm-hmm. which it does have that.
I've
component.
Never been to. I would think. Oh. Imagine you meditate for 24 hours, and
you're going to come with me. We're going to go on vacation together, okay? Because we both get up at 4:30 in the morning.
I feel at home. But one of the best parts about getting up at 4:30 is that no one else is awake.
Stillness.
So yes. If you're surrounded by people, you're like, "Damn, I need 3:30 now."
Yeah,
no, I'm kidding. I'm
no, kidding. I know. So the ashram, the foundation is just set up to turn down the noise, right? Turn
Beautiful.
Down the noise of the mind, of the inflammation that's happening in the body. We do this when we practice yoga. The bulk of the yoga that happens is breath work and meditation, right? The way that, you know, the way that yogis originally practiced. Then we move into the asana practice. Are you a yoga teacher?
I'm not, but I recently had I don't know if you know Brett Larkin, but she's a great yoga teacher, and she came on a podcast and blew my mind. She was incredible about explaining the importance of breath.
Absolutely. And what's funny, like typically on week two or week three of a yoga teacher training, in the class, the yogis will leave the class. They like drop like flies, not because they have to leave, but because they're having these emotional releases. They want to cry. They want to scream. They want to yell. They want to call someone. So the physiology around opening up these energetic centers, like, and yoga can be free. Right?
Yeah.
Like there are things that we can practice every day. Meditation is free. Breath work is free. Getting out into sun is free. These original biohacks that we know that come from ancient cultures are all free and readily available.
100%.
And
another cheap one. No one really uses you.
Yeah. Healing foods, right? Yeah. Foods with no ingredient labels. I say, you know, if you want a diet that's going to be healing and soothing, look for ingredients that come from nature that aren't sold in packages. Like this is the foundation. You know all about this, obviously. So something I'm excited about when every guest comes on is really tying in these ancient practices to your own culture.
Mm,
so you're from Poland.
Poland, yes.
We're going to go global and we're going to document all of the ancient healing practices, because something that I think of about this is I get sad to think these ancient practices or healing recipes and teas and tinctures, they're dying with our mothers and our aunties and our grandmothers and our great grandmothers. The things that they just knew inherently or that was passed on to them through other women, other healers, right? So we have to keep them alive.
I know. And it's so hard because I wish I was more curious before my grandma passed away.
Yeah.
Because she had so much knowledge, but I went from grandma, we're so much more ahead these days, and kind of just like dismissed her. Especially because she always said, make sure you use lard. It's the best fat. I'm like, no, grandma, it's pretty bad. It's saturated fat. Look at the science. And then science, like, actually, lard is great. But,
it's actually better for cooking.
Yeah. Than canola oil.
Which, absolutely. Yeah. So tell us about any of those other healing practices. Like, do you know of any that come from Poland? Do you remember any as a child or things that you would remember your mother or grandmother practicing?
Yeah. Well, we had... what is the thing that you put on your back? Cupping, yeah. Mm. So I know it's not Polish, but like that was like a big part. Whenever you would get sick, you would always do cupping. We had, you know, like just traditional like honey, vitamin C, like lot came from nutrition. It was like later on, maybe my parents would resort to antibiotics when I got a little older, but my grandma was old school. I love it because she was always like, no, we can fix it with, I don't know, she would get like a bag of lentils and she would heat it up like dry and put them in a pillowcase and just kind of put it on my chest to like make it warmer and something.
No synthetic chemicals needed.
Yeah.
In the microwave.
Yeah. It was just like, oh, I wish she would heat it up. But I think her whole thing, the importance of sleep, and she always said like, you really need to rest and cooking oils and just the food in general. She always said that it's like, if you make it at home from scratch, it's not going to hurt you. That was her whole thing, because she always would. I was vegan for 9 years, and she always said, like, it's okay. She's like, she had meat once a week, and she said, like, it's not about having to eat meat at every meal, but just have a little bit, because excluding anything completely, it's not good for your body. Now, a lot of people can question that, but, you know, the quality of dairy that we had growing up, we still had fresh milk and pollen that we had to boil for us to be able to drink it, because it was raw. Now it feels like the most crazy thing to have access to raw milk dropped off by a front door.
It was illegal for so long, right?
Yeah,
which is just wild.
Yeah.
And cold exposure also, right?
And oh, Peanut loves you. He loves good energy. It's my dog. For those who can't see the camera, I brought my dog, which is the OG biohackers, because, you know, it's like,
these girls
I need to play. Yeah. I need to play. I need to get good sleep. I love my meat, you know, and oxytocin is the most important. So,
yeah. Good role model.
So funny.
Cold exposure. Mm-hmm. You know, in Denmark, the babies would go out into the cold for their naps and stuff like that. So, like, from birth, cold exposure is practiced.
Right? Yeah, and that's like, I don't think my parents did that. I think it's just like, I was that generation that was like the first one that they thought they know better. But just like, you know, you would get public transport, would get to places. We spend a lot of time outside, and Poland gets, I think, even colder than Denmark, because we get like sub-zero temperatures or sub-freezing temperatures.
Right.
So,
and do you remember like the feeling of nature when you were younger?
I grew up in a city, so I remember craving more nature. I remember thinking like, wow, like when I'm going to be an adult, I'm just going to spend like all of that time barefoot, which is finally making my childhood dreams come true. But even the way I used to play, there were no iPads or no, I know I'm showing my age here, but we just, like, my parents were like, okay, go into the forest. Like, so we would spend the entire summer, we get 3 months off. Mm-hmm. Also, another thing, which I think it's kind of cool about Poland, that when you're young, you only spend 2 or 3 hours in school, and the rest of it is for playing. So I would finish school at 10:30, 11. Like, it was just, you go for a couple of hours until you're like 10 or 12. And I know in the US, you're in school till 3. We never, ever, even when you're 18, you never spend this long in school.
It's wild.
Because you need to have, like, they were like, oh, you need some rest and time off and this and that. So
what's interesting about what you're saying is often, although I'm a nutritionist, I got into NLP.
Oh, beautiful. Earlier on, yeah.
Because I realized it wasn't really about the food, right? On our first calls with my clients, within the first 5-10 minutes, if I were to ask them why they're not making choices out of self-love, why aren't you choosing the things that feel good to yourself? Why aren't you choosing to go out and be in nature? And 99% of the time, the conversation was met with tears. Tears over, you know, I don't remember the last time I felt that way. And when I asked them to rebuild a time in their life when they felt at peace or happy, when they probably felt like they had that inner stillness of just like being, they're always in nature.
Yeah.
Right.
Which brings us back to how we started, which is so easy when you're in nature to even just feel like you're part of something bigger.
Absolutely.
And something special. But I think it's funny because when I first like started my career, let's just call it that way, I went into more like motivational space, and I was like, okay, like, you know, I get to skydive and jump out of planes and to do so many great things. Why can't everybody do it? It's so easy. You just have to do it. Mm-hmm. And I could never understand why it's so hard for people to make healthy choices about their life. Mm-hmm. And they understood it's good for them, but it was just really hard. And when I got into biohacking and got very sick, it was this moment in my life when I realized, I'm like, oh, wow, if your biology is out of whack, you are not yourself. You're not a sober person making sovereign choices about your life and your health. And so that made me realize that, like, wow, if I can change people's biology and they have energy and their mitochondria is not overwhelmed and they feel like, you know, they don't get a glucose spike five times a day, all of a sudden they will start to love themselves more because they will see, wow, it feels so good to be alive. Mm-hmm. And hence they will be more motivated and make better choices. So I kind of took a step back and I realized if we can get everyone to biohack or like get healthy, people will go after their dreams. Mm-hmm. But if you just focus on the motivation without the biology, it's just going to be really hard. It's going to always feel like pushing.
This is what I love about this. Like the impact more so of women and men sharing their healing journeys so that they can really like go into detail about the shift, right? And it's, I think that the common denominator is the feeling behind it. I went from feeling like I was sick, like I had brain fog, like I had lack of motivation and direction, into feeling like this veil was lifted and I remembered who I was and how good that feels. And the second people hear that, they're like, yeah, like show me, what is it, right? And what I love about you and the things that you talk about is that you really add this personalized approach, right? Mm. So biohacking in today's modern world is still a very masculine topic.
Yes.
And it's driven by a lot of men who I think that when you ask a man what the intention is for their health, a lot of the time they'll think of function, they'll think of physique, they'll think of longevity. And
optimization, that's a very masculine word.
Optimized, right? I want to live till I'm 120, right? And I think that for women, although some of those goals might be a nice idea and foundation, but the inspiration is like, show me how to wake up feeling amazing tomorrow morning. How do I wake up without thinking about stress and anxiety first? How do I go through my day without like wanting to cover my body because my body is out of balance?
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, and also loving yourself. So like when I first got in before biohacking, I would put Botox and fillers and whatnot. And I would just like really try to like so hard to look a certain way. And like, apart from my lips, which I still like love having my big ears, I stopped doing all of this and I'm turning 37 next year.
Are you really?
Yeah. And I have no Botox, no fillers. And yeah, look, I have belly fat. It's still here, but I love it because fat is there to protect me. So every time you get a little bit of fat on your stomach, it's protecting your organs. Mm-hmm. So you don't die, literally. So every time it's like, okay, thank you for protecting me. You're just there to like, you know, and for me also when you get belly fat, it's a big sign of cortisol imbalance. So if I feel really stressed, I'm traveling a lot. Obviously I put on weight around my belly area, which is like a sign for me. I'm like, you're stressed. And this is like my little cortisol cushion. And it's like, it's biofeedback of like, okay, maybe I'm doing too much. Or maybe, you know, the food that I'm eating is maybe I'm having too much sugar or like, you know, too many carbs. And that kind of like spikes my glucose and that ends up, or my estrogen might be out of balance, right? Because I'm like drinking from a plastic bottle or whatever it might be, right? That it's just like, okay. And I don't think of myself like, oh, you're fat. It's just like, I'm this amazing human being that I fucking love. Sorry. Yeah. And right now we're collecting a little bit of fat because it's like she's feeling overwhelmed and I'm asking too much of my body. Can I help her detoxify? Can I help her relax a little more? Because I do believe that our homeostasis of our body is fit and healthy and shining and truly loving yourself. Because when you actually understand how many things are happening in your body, you wouldn't be complaining that she sucks.
You are a walking, talking miracle. If we could just see that every day, right? Yeah. If we just own that.
Yeah.
So that was a lot. I really want to unpack that into three parts. So on the first part, it's the symptoms that women are suffering from that may be different from men.
Yeah.
The second part of that is radical self-love and acceptance, right? And then the third, maybe we can talk about, you know, how certain biohacking techniques should be different for women than men.
100%.
Because what's happening right now with a lot of the clients that I work with, you know, there's this overwhelm. Mona, I don't want to feel guilty for not having a cold shower this morning. Like, I just wanted to have a hot fucking shower and feel good. I don't want to feel
guilty for not doing that. Oh, this was me this morning before coming here. I was like, it's morning, I should have a cold shower. I'm like, nope, this is not one of these days. I'm like, as hot as possible. I'm like, it's winter. I already felt cold for 5 minutes when walking the dog.
So let's start with the radical self-love and acceptance, right? Like, I think that if biohacking is going to have a really powerful place for women in the future, the foundation of it all should be a radical self-love and acceptance. Going out into the world that day, knowing that everything that you choose for yourself is based on healing and self-love because you're owning this vessel that you're in.
Yeah, I we have so many things in common, even though we just met. But one of the things I also teach my women, because I always say to women, like, you don't eat healthy because I tell you or it's the right thing to do. You eat it because you love yourself so much and there's so much self-love that you're always like, how can I support her? Like, she's doing so much for me, which I think you mentioned earlier. But we also, before the cameras were rolling, we mentioned that we look up to so many amazing men in the space who have paved the way, who made the space for me, and they have been supportive massively. But they're still men, so they can't bring a female perspective. They don't have ovaries. They never had their period. So, and they also, men thrive through challenge and women thrive through nourishment and tenderness and caring. And so when we do these David Goggins challenges or 75 hard, and sure, I mean, I love them. This is me and my entire life. Oh, if, you know, some Dave Goggins is doing it, I'm going to do it. Yeah. And then I realized that it's like, that's not my strength. My strength will come from softness. And it comes back to the yin yang, the energy of the masculine and the feminine. And because we live in patriarchy, we believe that the achieving, doing, pushing through and discipline are somewhat superior than being, letting things flow, surrendering to what is, because we consider it weak. But I don't think today's society truly understands what a true embodied feminine really is. It's not as common, right? So like, we think of non-doing as laziness because we imagine someone watching TV or watching Netflix and being numb. But that's numbing. That's not non-doing. You know, when you see an embodied woman of how connected she is with her intuition, that she doesn't have to look at the numbers. She doesn't need to have spreadsheets. She just kind of know, like, this is the right thing. You mentioned that you started a podcast because it felt like the right thing to do, even though you didn't want it, as in with your head, but with your heart, you're like, I need to pave the way for more women because I'm fortunate enough to have the knowledge, have access to all of that. And as a woman, I need to just, I kind of felt that myself, that I didn't want to even, I was like, oh, I remember sitting in Bali meditating and I was like, I'm so tired. I don't want to do any of this. And I had this literal like download where it basically said that, like, it's almost like a calling that if we get to do that with the platform that we have, we should, and to help women heal themselves. We're not healing anybody. We're just showing them that they can heal themselves.
That is so beautiful. So, you know, with your communities then, what I'm hearing from you is something very different. It sounds like you're really leading from this idea of intuition.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
So if women, what I'm hearing about your practice is you can wake up every day, tune into your intuition, and kind of, it's really like asking yourself this guiding light question. So what would be the impact of women going out into the world, honoring their body day by day, not week by week or month by month or year by year, but in the day, in the moment, what do I need in this moment to heal? Yeah. What would help me feel nourished? So for you, what are some of your favorite biohacking techniques then for women? Let's start with women.
Yeah. I think actually, so I agree that there's a level of like, we need to go moment by moment and see, instead of pre-planning our day, you know, kind of like Oura Ring tells you, oh, actually, maybe you take it easy.
Scale back.
Yeah. But you can also just say like, what feels right? I know I had all these plans, but what actually feels right? Sorry, Peanut's giving you less and less space. But what has helped me in my biohacking journey is that the concept of living from Monday through Friday is very kind of like masculine. And it's also like waking up in the morning and you know, it's all linked to testosterone. Mm-hmm. And I started looking at my body in the context of a month, because we're lunar. So we, you know, we have a 28-day cycle. And so that allows me to literally cycle my energy and what I do and how I go through life. And so right now I'm 6 days before my period, and this is a time for me to slow down a little bit and undercommit, let's just say, and make more space to allow myself to drop into the feminine energy and connect with myself. And that means that I'm not pushing myself at the gym. I'm not fasting. I'm eating more carbs. I'm spending more time connecting. And that then when it's time before my ovulation to push myself, then I feel so rested and so ready. Mm-hmm. And so it's been really helpful because I feel like every one of my days back in the day were kind of the same, because it was always a question of, I had a workout 2 days ago, now it's time for me to work out, and kept on pushing myself, even though I didn't feel like it, because you're not a quitter or whatever the guys would tell you. Yeah. But when you understand that we have way more going on in our bodies as women, then you realize, I'm like, oh wow, like, yeah, not every day has to be the same. And that's perfectly okay. It's just, we need to now adjust the environment that we live in, because even I think it's in Spain that you can take a day off if you have your period.
Really?
Yeah. I think you can just like as a good enough reason to not come to work. So if anyone's watching this from Spain, let us know, because I heard that's true. But in reality, you would want to have a day off before your period, not even to, and most women don't even know when their period is coming. It's kind of like, oh, yeah. It is now.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people are living in the unknown. I want to move to Barcelona, so I will find out. Yes.
Beautiful. Let me know.
Well, I just wonder, like, European culture is one, but also when we think about our ancestors. So when we were living in tribes and community, I wonder if because of our pheromones being together, if our cycles would have been regulated within each other, within our community. And can you imagine the impact of having the support of going through the same phases of a cycle with women at the same time, the understanding, the empathy, the regulation that would have happened for women?
Yeah. And we were pretty much left alone, and periods are a thing that, you know, we're embarrassed about. Like, women that I work with apologize to their boyfriend. Oh, I'm so sorry, I'm on my period. As if like, I'm like, wait, you're apologizing for being fertile.
For shedding an organ?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's like crazy that it's like, I don't know, when was the last time you went to a restaurant and you wanted to change your tampon or your pad and you would like hide it in your sleeves? And I recently was like, fuck this. I'm like so sick of hiding. I literally just like parade with the restaurant of like, da 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 da.
So good.
Because I'm like, let's like, why is this like a thing that
why is
we.
It taboo?
Yeah. And it's like, you can say it's not elegant, but I'm like, you should be so proud with what's going on in your body that it shouldn't be a thing that you're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, you know?
Well, you touched on something really profound. And I think that this is the awakening that's happening right now. Like, women are catching on to this inner wisdom,
right?
That we have. And, you know, like you, I went through a phase where I tried to mind over matter, muscle through it, go for the results, ignore the symptoms. You're tougher than that. Instead of really realizing that that was damaging to my body. And then you wonder why you're suffering from all these symptoms. Well, you're not listening to your body's wisdom, right? Yeah.
I always say, like, we get so upset that we're not the body's not listening to us. Like, you're not listening to me. We need to go and be there. And then I'm like, you're not listening to your body, actually. But
yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I've been sending you symptoms for days, weeks, months. Yeah. You haven't been listening. So something that you talk about is cycle syncing.
Yes.
Can you share a bit more about that and the power of how this could really help with women feel better?
I think this is such a great question. And so the idea of living your life according to your cycle is nothing new. Again, it's probably an ancient wisdom that women always knew that they wanted to honor, you know, the phase of the moon that they're in. And they were always linked to the moon cycle as well, because we're lunar. And so I was 34 when I heard the term infradian rhythm. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wait, you mean circadian? I'm like, no, infradian. I'm like, what is that? And so I actually came across Alyssa Vitti's work when she brought that up, and she's amazing. And that was the whole idea of having our own 28-day cycle, right? And these days it gets really disrupted because we are surrounded by endocrine disruptors. And so a fancy word for just a bunch of toxins that really confuse your endocrine system. I'm trying not to use like even endocrine system. Sometimes when you're busy and you're driving a car, I'm like, well, it's basically your hormones. I just call it your hormones, right? So if you have a lot of toxins that are basically everywhere, and they're from microplastic leaching into your plastic bottle, especially if you leave it in the car when it's warm. It's in a lot of processed food that we have, you know, it's in oats and gluten. in your makeup, like everywhere, right? It's dishwashing liquid. So it's all of these toxins that just get into your body. And they say that we're, on average, we consume up to a credit card size of plastic a week, I think, which is...
Even in umbilical cords, the amount of toxins that are found in newborn babies, their umbilical cords, thousands now because of what we're exposed to just by living in today's modern world.
Yeah, right? And like breathing the air and whatnot. So like, I think there was a, for everyone watching this, I think when every time I bring up the cycle, I realize that it's more difficult to find a woman who has a regular 28-day cycle because most women don't have a cycle. They have it irregular. They have it too heavy, you know, they have PCOS and endometriosis. And so I have a massive respect that I want to say that your cycle is not an indication of how, of a kind of woman that you are, but having a healthy cycle is definitely the most, like the holy grail of health for a woman, right? So I would highly encourage you to, I guess, care. And I have never been encouraged or celebrated for caring about my cycle. You know, I was like, oh, I can get on a pill and not have a cycle. Amazing.
Yeah.
You don't want to, you want to have a cycle, right? You want to have a healthy ovulation, which doesn't happen when you're on the pill. Ovulation makes you stronger, makes you lose weight. There's so many studies that women, for example, strippers that are ovulating versus the ones that are on the pill get way more tips and they're considered more attractive and more successful. So it's like your superpower. Like you want to have your ovulation, trust me. Yeah. So, it, which gets completely, you know, numbed with the pill. And so once we would get that, then I was like, how do I start living according to my cycle? You adjust diet, fasting, exercise. But one of the very simple ways you can do is making sure you are a total ninja when it comes to light management, because we're lunar. So if we have light at night from above our heads, it confuses our bodies. You know, it confuses our circadian rhythm, but also our infradian rhythm, because, you know, we would respond to the light of the moon at night. So if you're watching this and you still use an overhead lamp of light at home, don't, after sunset, just low light, you know, like side lamp, making sure that it's dark, and doing that and detoxifying your body through dry brushing, oil pulling, tongue scraping. I always wake up like scraping my tongue. I'm like, what is all of this? Castor oil packs, all of these things that are free and really, so, you know, they actually work. And that would really help a lot. And then you can adjust your diet and exercise. But even the two would help you get your cycle way more regular.
A tongue scraper is my deserted island product. Yeah. One thing, if I were to go to deserted island, the one thing I don't want to not have is my tongue scraper.
Almost better than a toothbrush.
Way better.
Yeah.
This is also powerful. So when we think about cycle syncing, one thing that you said that I don't think a lot of women have ever discussed is using the symptoms of your menstrual cycle, how you feel, what it looks like, the color of your blood as indication for what might be wrong and might, what might be working for you. Can you just own in on that again? Because I think a lot of women, one, they don't look at their blood. They assume that they're going to have PMS. They might assume that they have blood clots or brown blood or whatever it is. But like your blood, it's your blood. It's an organ coming from your body. Take a look. Be inquisitive.
Actually, in my book, I have a little guide which explains like exact color of your blood during your period and what that potentially means. And every, I mean, we can go into detail, but every kind of like, if it's too yellow, if it's too gray, it kind of is a great indication that something might be off. So again, super quick guide, but I think it's, you brought up such a good point, which is the PMS and how normal it is. And I see so many nutritional experts saying, you know, this time of the month when I have a tub of ice cream, and it like pains me because it's not normal.
Yeah.
It's common. And I, Gabor Mate, with he's like the myth of normal, of just because something is common doesn't mean it's normal. So let's not normalize sick things, even though most of us are unwell. And so when I first heard that PMS isn't normal, I got really upset and I was like, oh, like, that's just, what do you mean? Like, we all like experience all of this. No, it turns out that if you don't have enough carbs, if you're pushing yourself too hard, you know, maybe you're fasting or maybe you're overexerting yourself, the PMS symptoms, so premenstrual symptoms will be much stronger. So you'll crave processed food. And the funny thing is, there were some studies that proved that women that were experiencing PMS were only craving highly processed foods, like highly palatable foods, created in laboratories for you to get addicted to them. They never overate on carrots, a pumpkin, you know. It was just all of these chips and ice cream and highly processed food. So I realized that if you actually pay a little bit more attention, yes, you need more carbs, but have good nature carbs. I guarantee it's going to be really hard for you to overeat that sweet potato unless you turn it into a fried, deep fry it, you know, put so much salt. I do it all the time. Because when I make my own sweet potato fries, that's cool because they don't have 20
ingredients.
Yeah, many ingredients and canola oil that's inflammatory, that's going to create leaky gut, which will then create inflammation. So you're going to get puffy and you're going to think you're putting on weight, where in fact it's just inflammation. It's crazy that if you manage your inflammation, you can lose so much body weight.
Yeah.
And without even losing pounds, it's just the puffiness that comes with being constantly inflamed. So I would invite you, if you're watching this and you're feeling like, oh my God, every time I have a PMS, I want to kill my partner and eat a tub of ice cream. I'm like, try eating a lot of nature carbs and taking it easy and reconnecting with yourself and detoxifying your body. And
so good. Yeah, so good. We don't think about, you know, tuning into our symptoms. And I really think that's important. I think every woman should be documenting how they feel throughout the month, when the symptoms kick in. If they're noticing patterns and trends in how they're feeling, then this is something to pay attention to, right? And this is where working with a practitioner can be so valuable. Like, understand your biology, understand why you're having those cravings, understanding, because otherwise you're suffering, right? Yeah. You're giving into suffering with this generic excuse like, oh, it's normal. My doctor said it's normal. Yeah. I remember when I was 28, doctors told me that my PCOS was so bad, I'd never had a regular cycle unless I was on birth control, which a man put me on to regulate my cycle. But they said, oh, it's so normal. It's so normal, right? Yeah, so PCOS, normal. So normal. Miscarriages, so normal. But why is it happening, right? Yeah. So I just wish, my hope is that women, and with the help of their partners, like, just be on this journey of inquisition, understanding, because like feeling great in your body, in your physiology is possible, right? And this is when we can use biohacking as supplemental, right? It's something that you can add in to like go out into the world feeling phenomenal, like hands up in the air, not for the sake of getting to baseline.
Yes.
Right? It's not about that. And same thing with supplementation and dieting and stuff like that. You should never have to diet if your body's in balance, if you're addressing your deficiencies, because chances are those cravings that you're having during PMS or even during pregnancy, you know, if it's for fast food, you're probably craving some fat, right? Your body needs some fat, maybe some more salt. If you're craving some sweetness, you know, we have different taste buds for a reason, like honor nature's fruit instead. Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting because we forget that we eat for nutrients. So if we eat highly depleted foods because they have, you know, we eat bananas from Ecuador and we eat tomatoes from across the world or like whatever, we don't eat seasonally, we don't eat locally. So there are many, many studies proving that if you import produce from across the world, it is not as high in nutrients. So you eat the same amount of calories, but the nutrient value is much lower. So of course you're going to be hungry because your body's like, well, I didn't get enough nutrients. I know I have enough energy, but I need the nutrients and minerals. So how I start my morning with like replenishing my minerals is like, it's one of the big reasons why I never crave sugar. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it makes me so like difficult to relate because like we're going out with friends and like, oh my God, I need some chocolate. I'm like, I'll have a bite, but it's like too sweet for me because it's very rarely that I feel like, oh my God, I need something sweet. And if that's the case, I'm like, okay, is it the minerals? Is it not enough fat? What is it about my, you know, they say like drink more water, but The tap water is probably making you even more dehydrated and full of toxins. So,
absolutely.
You know, we want to drink more mineral water for the minerals, the, you know, so that would be like a big one. What, you're really struggling with a sweet tooth or testing yourself candida, right? It's like that would be another one. Because if you feel like this is like this feeling that it's overwhelming your body, great. It's a great sign. This is something is off. So I think we have to stop normalizing craving sugar as like a normal thing. It's not normal. It's common. And sugar, it doesn't mean you have to live your life without sugar. Just have it not from a place of craving, but from a place of like, I just want to have it. And it doesn't own me.
Something that you're really owning in on is women understanding their biology, right? Yes. So that they can really use biohacking as an accessory to feel their best. And yes. I love that so much because it's such a different approach. So simple things like find a practitioner, first of all, who's a partner for you. Mm-hmm. Understand your micronutrient testing. Maybe do a candida test. Understand your gut microbiome, if there's any deficiencies. Yes. Understanding your biology through a detailed blood lab. Maybe a stool test, right? You know, some simple basics that we can do for hormone balancing. One, obviously cleaning up our diet. Do you know about seed cycling?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you know Bia, the girls at Bia Wellness?
No.
No? Oh my gosh, I have to introduce you.
Please.
So seed cycling. Our ancestors knew how to use seeds from nature to really help us reduce symptoms around our menstrual cycle, how to regulate our cycle, and so much more. So shout out to Bia. You obviously go into this in great detail. But something I'm thinking of as you're speaking is, you know, the women who are watching this and they're looking at you and I, right? We're showing up. We have gotten to a point in our lives, one, because of our profession, two, because of our commitment to feeling our best. I just want to paint the picture of like, it was hard. It was really challenging at some point, right? So it's not like we can say here and say, you should do this, just do this, just stop eating those foods, right?
Yeah.
But biologically, breaking up from addictive food, which is marketed to us, advertised to us, it's more affordable, which is frightening, right? Than going to the grocery store and buying some fresh produce. But there's a cycle that you can go through of elimination. The first week of elimination never feels good. You're breaking up with a drug or a chemical reaction to the brain, right? Yeah. Food scientists are hired to make processed food highly addictive so that we want more.
Yeah.
So when we're going through a stage of PMS or during our cycle, when we think of wanting to be soothed or comfort, we think of that processed food. We want to go back and get in. Once you get rid of that addiction, you all of a sudden can taste the natural sweetness. Like you said, you could taste the sweetness from the fruit. I remember we were at the ashram, but I tasted a piece of spinach and it was fresh spinach that had just been plucked from the leaf versus something that was in a store that was in a package, a plastic package that had traveled for hundreds of thousands of miles, right? And I'll never forget, like, wow, I can actually taste sweetness in spinach. This is insane.
Wow.
So do you remember going through a detox phase, you know, to get you from the version of yourself that you were to now you can speak about this with a little bit more grace and ease for you? Like, what should the woman watching who's really in that struggle phase, like, how are you going to take that away from me? I'm not going to give that up. How do I get to where you are?
I love that you brought that up. And I think when I think of myself back a few years ago, drinking oat milk lattes and having chips and sweets and feeling like liking Pringles is like part of my personality almost, or like having a good latte. And I think I didn't realize that my palate changes and can be easily manipulated, but based on what I provide to my body. And that's really hard to understand, because a lot of times when people are on these highly palatable foods, they feel like, oh my God, your life seems so sad, you and your spinach. I'm sorry, but like, no thanks. But what you don't realize, it's just you're so numb to the true taste with overstimulating your body that it does feel like you really need to have those intense experiences. Almost like, it's almost like watching porn versus real sex. It's like when you are overstimulated, then true connection feels a little boring until you actually realize that actually there's so much beauty and the feeling after you eat something nutritious is the best high you can possibly get. It's like when something nourishes you, it's like, I love the word nourish because it's just like it hits all the, like ticks all the boxes for me. We're just like feeling good in my body, feeling full, feeling like there's nothing else I need. And I don't get that after chips. It's always like, I should stop. I had a whole bag. Yeah. It's never that feeling of completion that you get eating real food. When you just finished your plate, I'm like, I'm good. I'm full. I don't need to have this, I don't know, the food police in my head saying like, you've had enough, which was very true for me back in the day. I had to kind of like control how much I should eat, right? Because you feel like if this was up to me, I would keep eating all the time.
Right. Well, we're taught restriction everywhere, right? You want to be healthy, restrict. Don't eat that. Don't go there. Don't do that exercise, right?
It's all about drives me crazy when hardcore. I even see big fitness trainers saying, you know, it's about identity. You can push through. You're not the kind of person who's eating. I'm like, it doesn't work for women. You know, for us, it's just nail your biology so you'll never crave these things. And there's nothing to restrict or fight with. It's just very organic, normal way of eating where you will just feel like the chips won't sound as good. And so I think that would be my biggest takeaway, that taking smaller steps towards, you know, adding something healthier. I would start personally with eating foods in the right order to manage your glucose spikes. And I would practice microfasts, which is 3 fasts during the day. So instead of having 7 meals a day, which is the invention of the 80s, have 3 meals, let your body rest. So eat until you're full. You don't need to restrict, but just have 3 meals. Mindy Pell's always, we love Mindy, but she always says that, you know, studies say that if you eat standard American diet and fast, your body will be able to detoxify. And, you know, obviously fasting is like one of the cheapest biohack there are.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's possible for everyone. So let's talk about that. If someone wants to go home and just say, you know what, I'm really into this cycle syncing, what's the go-to? What's the easiest way to start?
Oh, well, that's a great question. I think having a way to track your cycle, so knowing where you are. I'm just working on an app that you'll be able to just kind of like be able to track, very super simple, but I thought it was really important for myself as well to make sure that I know this is day 28 or day 29 or this. And then when you're being taught and you write down your symptoms, or I call them signs, because for me, symptoms sounds like something is wrong, but these are signs from your body. Your body's communicating through with you, not with, you know, speaking English, speaking feelings, you know, in your body. So these are different signs. And you're like, oh, is that what day 21 looks like? And you have years and years when you look back and you're like, oh, wow, I already know day 26 is when I really feel X, Y, and Z. And it's really predictable. So that's great. I would definitely, like I said, start with eliminating your light, researching, you know, whether it's through the book or any other books that there are that talk about a specific diet that you can adjust, you know, so having a little bit more carbs before your period, going more keto after your period, and not pushing yourself too hard at the gym before your period, and then going for your personal best around ovulation.
So this is genius. Okay. Like, I'm getting a little emotional because can you imagine going back in time, right? So we're in our early 20s. And if we knew how to honor our system that way, what the impact would have been, you know, from our relationships, our grades in schools, our confidence, our self-esteem going out into the world, just by being taught how to honor our monthly cycle.
And I think when we have this realization how powerful we are, and that our sex was our superpower, we would stop wishing to be more like men. And I think my self-esteem and my self-love would skyrocket it back in the day. I think I was trying so hard to be as strong as my partner and felt maybe not broken, but definitely weak for having my period or not being able to be at 100%. On some of the days. So I think now I have so much reverence for my cycle that I'm like, oh, I love it.
Oh my God. I have a 5-year-old daughter. So what you just said, your cycle is your superpower.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Yeah. I literally have this like comparison in the book where it's basically, I said, it's like Star Wars. I'm not a big Star Wars person, but it's the only metaphor I could come up. But it's basically what it's like when you realize that Luke Skywalker has a superpower, doesn't know how to use it. Yeah. And the dark force has been brainwashing him into thinking that it's his biggest curse, mm-hmm. where in fact is how he saves the world. And I think it's very true for women that it's how we save the world through cycling and through owning who we are.
Absolutely. Okay, so last week of the cycle, increase your carb intake, but carbs that come from nature, yes. from the earth, taking it easy on your body, honoring your intuition, the types of movement that you do. Maybe you're not going to do the hardcore HIIT workout,
yeah.
right? I thought of you yesterday as I did yoga instead of a HIIT class.
Yay!
Honoring your sleep, getting out into the sunlight first thing in the morning. These are all just, oh, what about your fasting schedule too?
Yes. Right? So we don't fast before our period. So this is the time. It all comes down to feeling safe, you know, yeah. in general. Like, I think why a lot of the male-centered regimens don't work is because when you push yourself, you almost send a signal to your body, it's not safe to have children, right? And so I think when you fast and work out and, you know, deprive your body through carbs, it's too much of a stressor. And what you're essentially saying, it's too stressful for me to be pregnant. And so progesterone doesn't like that. This is the baby making hormone. So we want to be fasting in the first 2 to 3 weeks of our period with a small break for ovulation, because it's already happening. Enough is happening in our body, and that's great for fasting. But before our period, we don't fast. We just remember that you want to make yourself feel safe and honored and nourished.
Something I coach my clients on is having a guiding light question. We share the love of the word nourishment. So before making any decision around your health, how you start your day, the conversations that you have, the movies that you watch, the foods that you eat, you know, I always say, ask yourself in the moment, is this nourishing me and taking me closer to a version that I want to become and how I want to feel and show up in this world? Or is making this decision anchoring me in a version of myself that doesn't feel good?
That.
And so when I'm thinking about you and what you're putting out into the world, that's essentially it, right? Like, you're really giving women permission to identify something that is so powerful. Many of these things are free, but by finally taking ownership of their own personal constitution, their feminine with their masculine, right? It's okay to own both.
Yes.
Right?
And I think what has helped me in my journey is trying to always do the right thing and kind of always take the higher road. And then I realized it's putting me personally in the masculine energy. And I felt like I need a little bit more slack. And so I was chatting to my friend, Dr. Amy Killen, and she's like, oh, you know, like, you're a biohacker. And she's like, and Jacob, my partner, is a bioslacker. And I'm like, well, I have a bioslacker in me. So actually in the book, I say it's 80% biohacker and 20% bioslack all you want, because I still do. And there will be things that you might not be ever able to give up. For me, it is makeup. Yes, I know my favorite foundation is it's like blinking red, yeah. you know, from the Yuki app, which is like, this right. is not good for you. I'm like, yeah, that's my bioslacker. And so it's not about getting it all right, right? It's like just realizing, it's just having, I really like about what you said, is having the awareness.
Yeah.
That I know this is not good for me, but I'm choosing it. I'm choosing it from a place of awareness, not having no idea what's contributing to that. And as long as you keep it under 20 and you just, you know, this is the chocolate cake that I'll never give up.
Yeah.
Perfect, right? Bioslag, this is the 20%. But you want to make sure that this isn't what your higher self would pick either, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but radical, you know, radical acceptance for biohacking and bioslacking. That's brilliant. I love that.
So I want more. I think women, especially when I work with women, they want to get everything so right. And I'm like, maybe your medicine is not to get things right. Mm. Maybe your medicine is to bioslack a little bit. You know, it depends on the person, obviously. But sometimes I feel like type A personality, I have a feeling you would have a hard time bioslacking. I feel like I want to take you for ice cream.
Yeah, I know, right? You and I both need to go for
An and
ice
just
cream.
Kind of chill, because I'm like, can I have ice cream without guilt? And then like, we probably would struggle with the second part, but that's our medicine. And that's what would make us reach those levels of higher levels of consciousness, right? Because at the end of the day, the highly developed masculine that's too rigid and too disciplined is also not good either.
Absolutely. And I think that the difference when you and I go for ice cream, the intention behind it is different. I don't think, you know, I think if we look at it as a form of, you know what, I'm really going to nourish, I'm going to love this ice cream.
Yeah.
I want to deserve this ice cream because I'm so good most of the time that I'm here in this world to also I'm here in this world to also enjoy the indulgences too, right? Like we want to live. But I think that what you're saying also is just doing it when your body's in a place of balance, right?
100%. And then you have it from a place of just enjoyment. There's so many interesting studies about dopamine, that cravings are linked to dopamine. So if you have issues with cravings, you might want to look at like how often do you spend time on social media, et cetera, et cetera. And it is proven that if you have something sweet from a place of dopamine, you have a craving hangover where it doesn't feel as good because your dopamine drops, versus you have it just because I feel like having it without any guilt. So you want to pick out your cravings and dopamine, because once you do, you realize, I'm like, okay, actually, it still feel good after I finished.
Yeah, so
that's the goal.
I'm so excited about your new book.
Thank you.
I think that it's just in perfect timing. So Biohack Like a Woman, what is your intention for the book?
Wow. It's funny because I would love for you to come. We'll have a little ceremony for the book with my spiritual teacher, and I would love to get together all the women in close to my heart here in LA and share everything that we are ready to let go for the next generation of women. And that would be the intention behind the book, that at the end of the day, there are many things that have kept us small, but diet and our over focus on our looks for women has been a biggest cage and biggest prison. And I think once women see that they don't have to be on a diet and still feel great, that would free up so much of their time. It would be like coming out of a cage. And so I would love for you to come and do a little witchcraft.
I'm counting the seconds. For something like that.
Thank you.
Brilliant.
But that would be my biggest intention, to just like whatever the cage is for you, hopefully by reading this book or just interacting, you'll be able to see that you're destined for so much more in life than to worry about what you eat and, you know, stomach folds or whatnot.
I'm excited for this to get out into the world. Just imagine the impact, I think, as a woman, if we make it our responsibility to get information like this. And you nailed it. Like, something that you've really done, which is why I think I was so excited to sit with you here today, is you've taken something that's very masculine and modern and new, but also just dropped it into the heart, right?
Mom, I think thank you for saying that. That actually means a lot.
But this is where, like, women, we've got a BS radar, right? And when you drop into the heart first and the intention is there, it's like, oh my God, finally, like, someone sees me. So I really hope whoever reads this, that they pass it on to another woman or a daughter or a mother.
We need that. Goosebumps. I was recently testing this new exosome protocol for myself, because there's a part of me that loves, you know, self-experimentation is a big part of biohacking.
Yeah.
And I remember someone came up, like, why? It's like, do you have like some of the studies and this and that? And I'm like, honestly, I just listened to my intuition this time and I just trust that this will work. And it has helped me tremendously with my shoulder pain from a car accident.
Wow.
But that's what we need in biohacking, is having that like trust that like maybe there aren't enough studies, you know, on something, but I'm willing to test it. I'm not going to go out and tell people to do it, you know, until actually it has been tested. But from my experience, I do a lot of things that are cutting edge, that aren't tested for years and years and years, and are not supported by the big pharma. So they might never be made mainstream, but in my heart, I know that this is the right thing that my body needed, and I feel incredible. So I was like, yay.
Well, it sounds like you've been asking questions. So like the authorities that are out there, I think that as a practitioner, when you're trying them on yourself and then sharing your vulnerability around it, I think that we've done a good job today on just touching on so many things and symptoms that many women are suffering. Our hope is that they really take away from it a personal blueprint, like, you know, ask yourself if it's something that you need or not, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe once and for all, just accepting that there is no one perfect diet. There is no one perfect biohacking protocol, that you get to take ownership based on how you feel every single day. And that is your power.
Yeah. And I think one of the most liberating feelings in the world is to stop blaming the big pharma, biohacking, Dave Asprey, whoever you want to blame, me for being healthy, and just kind of realizing this is, no one is looking out for you if you don't look out for yourself. And as tough love it is, it's very true that like it's your greatest honor and privilege and responsibility to take ownership of your life and your health. And it's a playground. Once you get in, it's a lot of fun, and feeling healthy feels absolutely amazing, and it's our birthright.
Hey, that is so beautiful. You are the medicine, right?
You are
the medicine. Yeah. All right. So just to wrap things up, some rapid fire questions.
Oh, let's do it.
Does Chelsea make you do these?
No, but I did them recently myself, actually. So and I really liked them, but I didn't read them because I was trying to keep
them. Yeah, I love that too. All right. So what's the number one mistake that you're seeing women make when it comes to optimizing their health?
Overtraining and under eating protein.
I love that. What's one way many women are making healing and health too complicated?
Not listening to their intuition and feeling like everything they see online is true.
What would be the impact if women trusted their intuition?
Oh my God, the economy would collapse.
Right? New world paradigm.
Yeah.
Right? What is your favorite ancient healing practice?
I'm going to say tongue scraping, actually, and being naked in the sun. Mm.
Nature kissing you. Can I ask you, what is your favorite ancient healing recipe? Can you think of something?
Recipe. That's a great question. Let me think. Ancient recipe, like for food. Let me think. I mean, I like my shilajit with chlorella. Like I said, that would be like something that I always have every day. I drink a lot of green tea, like on a daily basis, just for my antioxidants. Like I ship it from Japan. It's ridiculous. I actually have it with me. I'll show you. It's a matcha with sencha mixed together. Apart from these two, if there's anything else.
What about as a kid growing up? Do you remember a recipe?
Recipe? Oh my God. I grew up on strawberries with cream. And so I don't know. It's like an ancient recipe, but I absolutely loved it when my grandma would just have it. And I still have it till this day with like whipped coconut cream, and love it.
My mom does that too. That was one of ours. Yeah.
So good.
Tell me something about modern medicine that really excites you today.
Peptides. Yes.
Same with me. And I really hope that we find this balance and acceptance, right? Like asking questions of modern day science, but really questioning like, what can I do that isn't invasive that could be beneficial? Like really marrying the two worlds together.
Right? I love peptides. I think they're the future, and I hope they'll be allowed in the US because I have had incredible experience with peptides.
For listeners, what are three things that they can take away to start feeling better in their bodies?
I love that question. Detoxify your body. You're constantly bombarded with toxins everywhere. And so just eliminating would make a big difference. Self-love. And I'd say lowering your cortisol, whether it's playing with your dog or just realizing that less is more sometimes.
And do you have, let's just add this in, do you have any detox practices that are pretty consistent or basic for you every day?
I dry brush every day. I use castor oil packs. It's such a tongue twister. Tongue scraping. And dry brushing, I said. And I'm trying to think. I do have like, whether it's chlorella, I would have milk thistle supporting my liver. Hot water with lemon. Yeah.
Yeah, herbal teas, right? So simple. If you could leave our listeners with just one takeaway that you are most excited about right now, what would it be?
You are powerful beyond belief. And I'm so excited for you to do great, great things, big things on this planet. And healthy is your birthright. And don't let anyone believe you. Don't make anyone make you believe otherwise.
Yeah, I love that. Don't let anyone else convince you otherwise. Yeah,
thank you. That's
your energy is so beautiful. I think that people, whether they're watching or listening, are going to be able to feel that. So thank you.
Thank you for having
here.
Me.
Yeah.
Thank you for your super beautiful and just questions, but also for your presence and letting me share what was important to me. So I really appreciate it.
I can't wait for you to come on my podcast. Yeah, thank you. This is just the beginning. So we're going to plug everything, but you know, how do you love engaging with your community?
Oh, what a great question. Wow. Usually on Instagram at Aggie, not the Texan Aggie, apparently, but just A-G-G-I-E. And that you can message me. You can just message me the word book, and that I would know that you're interested in learning more about biohacking. So that's always a good start.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mona. Thank you.
You too.